You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, and it's almost time for our daily lectionary study, looking at the Gospel of John chapter 5 again, with my guest, Pastor Neil Wemus of St. Peter's Lutheran Church, St. John's Lutheran Church, and Zion Lutheran Church, all out there in Iowa, a Tri-Point parish. We can ask him a little bit more about what life is like for the saints out there in just a moment, but first, we're just going to take a look at John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. Again, we'll be taking a closer look at that in just a moment with Pastor Neil Wemus here on His Time's Daily Lectionary Study. The focus now, as we head into this break, remembering that the moment has already come in which God has spoken to you through the voice of his Son Jesus, whether it's come to you by parent or pastor or Christian brother or all of the above. He has called to you and said, "Wake up, resurrect, be alive," and that most important part of you, that part from which all the rest gets its life, your nephesh, your soul, you are alive forevermore, that even though you die, yet you will live, that your body dying is but a passing moment, but that your resurrection has already begun through faith in the only Son of God. Listen to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk this morning. It's time now for the Daily Lectionary, where we will study the daily New Testament reading from Treasury of Daily Prayer. Our guest today, Pastor Neil Wemus, and he is with, well, he's headed to St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa, most recently serving, at three parishes in Iowa as well. Pastor Wemus, welcome to our study of the Daily Lectionary.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
Glad to have you as our guest today. Tell me about the congregations you most recently have served.
There were three smaller congregations, pretty close together in Osceola County, just northwest Iowa. We're almost to the Minnesota border. Average of about 45 in attendance. Week at all three churches. kind of stretch on mileage and getting around, but three really good congregations, wonderful people. I know whoever gets to take that call is going to be very blessed by them. So this last Sunday was the last service, so it was a very emotional weekend. So
undoubtedly, when a pastor receives a call and accepts that call to serve in a new congregation in a new setting, it's like losing a family member, certainly, when he leaves and moves on to serve the body of Christ in a new location. That certainly can be a very emotional time. But now you're headed to serve St. Paul in Ida Grove. Tell us a little bit about what you know about the saints there of St. Paul in Ida Grove.
Well, I'm going to be an associate pastor here. So they have about 990 is a baptized membership. And so definitely a very different situation. And like I've told people, one of the big interesting transitions is when you're a tri-parish pastor, it's like if you need something done, you just go, well, got to go take care of it. Now I have to think, okay, I have other people I have to go to talk with. So it'll be kind of it'll be different, good experience. And I'm, getting really excited for the what God has in store here. And so...
Very good. Well,
that's about what I've got.
We're studying John chapter 5 today, verses 19 through 29. Pastor Wemus, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text in John chapter 5?
In John 5, the thing that happened right before this, and I believe this is a lectionary study for yesterday, was that there was a man that was paralyzed. That was brought before Jesus. He was lying on a mat, and Jesus said, "Young man, pick up your mat and walk." And so within that context, so it's because it was on the Sabbath, there was a lot of people that got angry. They were getting mad. First, mad that they saw that this man was carrying his own mat. Then they were upset that Jesus was healing. And then you add into it that they were upset. Then it gets into verse 18, which I think is actually very key for, because, the pericope, it's verse 18 definitely goes with the previous section, but it definitely has connection into this text as well. It's definitely serving the bridge between the healing at Bethesda and this text that we're going to go into. So verse 18, where it says, "For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God," which very, very much sets into verse 19, where we're going to definitely be stepping into a lot of Trinitarian issues. So, which makes it nice and interesting. So,
all right, well, let's dig in. John chapter 5, verse 19 and following. "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." All right, so back to verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing." Pastor?
Okay, so Two things that kind of come out in that. First off, I want to make note. One of the things is whenever you read the Gospel of John, very important thing is to watch out for threes, where you see a word, you see a statement that's spoken three times in a short, like in a short interval, and that's going to let you, that lets you know that John is, you know, he's doing something with that. And so I want to point out just kind of a quick thing in terms of the outline of this text is verse 19, you know, truly, truly, I say to you. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you. Verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you. So you have three times you have this. And so there you have, you know, you have that outline being set out. And so, you know, so the thing is, so Jesus is being questioned, is being challenged for breaking the Sabbath. And so so they say this, you know, one of the things, so they said, going back to that verse 18, because like I said, that's going to, that definitely is influencing this, says he was even calling God his own father, made himself equal with God. And so we have this in verse 19 where he's saying, for whatever the Father, the Son could do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. And so it almost, on the surface, it appears as if Jesus is actually refuting it. But in actuality, he's talking about the relationship between the Father and the Son. So he's not trying to, he's not denying his divinity. Rather, he is speaking to the way the way the Trinity works together. And this is actually kind of a good example of how the word submission, this is actually a good example of the submission between the persons of the Trinity. You get this expressed especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking, it talks about marriage in there as well, but it does talk in there that the Son submits to the Father. And so when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, this is not him saying that he can't do this, like he has no ability. This is not an issue of power. Rather, he only does, rather it has, it's an issue of submission. So whatever he does, the Father gives, is the one that commands that it be done, if that makes sense.
For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel.
So, so this can, again, reinforcing that, that, you know, again, this is that what the Son and the Father are of one will. And again, the Father is the one that's, you know, kind of is the one that is the, this actually goes into what we call the economic Trinity. So so the Father sends the Son sends the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit sends us to the Son, and the Son sends us to the Father. And so, again, this is showing this, that the Father, you know, that everything the Son does is the Father's will. And, again, this is not about inferiority. And this is actually kind of a helpful thing, even when you talk about, because in John, I mean, in 1 Corinthians 11, when he talks about the submission of the Son to the Father, he brings this into the context of marriage. And this is, I mean, it's not direct, that's not, marriage isn't brought up in this text, but it's kind of helpful to point out, is that when we talk about the wife submitting to the husband, this is not saying that the wife is inferior to the husband. And so the same thing here, it just has to do with what the role is. And so the same thing here is that the Son is doing what the Father, the Son submits to the Father, but this does not mean that the Father, that the Son is inferior to the Father. And so it's, although he is inferior in regards to his manhood, as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, but in terms of his divinity, he is not inferior. So submission does not mean inferiority. It has to do with the place. And I actually kind of like this, where it says, "In greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." And so these, greater works than these, so he's talking about, you know, re-healing this paralytic. And so Jesus is saying that he's going to do something greater. And this is definitely, is what he's actually kind of leading them to see, is that the authority that he has to have healed this man, the authority he had to tell this man to pick up his mat, is he's telling him, he is letting them know that he has, that he is of divine authority. And what they saw here, something greater, he's going to be doing much greater.
Verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will."
So there is kind of the foreshadowing of what he is speaking of. And this is going to come even more into light as you get into the second half of this. So like I said, that truly, 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 that you see in those three points, this is kind of setting the framework. And so verse 19 to verse 23 is kind of one section. And so Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. This is, you know, kind of the foreshadowing that he is, you know, you're seeing him, again, you're seeing the paralytic, you're going to see him, you know, literally, he's going to raise people from the dead. So we'll come back to that a little bit more. That's going to get highlighted more in that second half.
"For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him."
Okay, so this is verse 22. You just can't help but see the Apostles' Creed right there. That the Son will come to judge the living and the dead. And so here, again, this is actually, again, speaking to the roles of the Trinity. And so this, I mean, it's kind of a, this actually shows exactly how mind-boggling the Trinity really is. Because, I mean, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, yet there are not three gods, but one God. And then you have this verse 22 that the Father judges no one, but the Son does. But all judgment is to the Son. And again, this is, you know, this is all setting up what's going to be said in verse 25 to 29, and which on the surface is going to sound kind of terrifying, actually, when you get to it. But anyway, so the judgment, so this is, again, speaking to the fact that the persons of the Trinity have different roles. They have different, they serve different things. So we don't say that the Father was crucified for us, or that the Holy Spirit was crucified, even though I've seen some really bad art that has tried to show the Holy Spirit being crucified, which is quite problematic. But only the Son was crucified. And so, you know, here you have that, again, the different roles of the Trinity here. That the Son is the one that is given the charge to judge the living and the dead. And again, that's going to get even more, you know, that's going to hit come really even more when you get into verse 28 and 29. And that's going to call back to all of this. So I think we could do verse 24, I think.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life."
Okay, so this is, so again, this is that second truly, truly, truly. If anybody happens to have an NIV, they translate it as, I tell you the truth, which I don't like that translation. But truly, truly, it's right here. It's kind of the hinge to this pericope, this set of readings. And so this is the very central point. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That little verse is the thing that's going to pulling both half of these together. And so here it says, it's all coming to faith, that those who believe in him will not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And so, like I said, right here, this is going to be a very important text, especially when you get into the second half of this, because the second half of this actually has some pretty strong law towards the end of it. And so without this verse 24, or then also other parts of Scripture, but without this verse 24, you can kind of get lost and get really trapped into the law. And so this is the thing that must be heard. And so whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. This is the thing why we come to church every Sunday. This is why, for those of you who are listening to the word, is that by this word comes faith. And this is a very big theme in John's gospel. The most famous verse in all the Bibles, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then you have all the way back to John chapter, go all the way down to John 20, and it says, these things are written that you may believe, and by believing may have life. And so this is the stressing, the importance of hearing the word. And this is not something we just need to hear, occasionally or once a month or whatever. We need to be hearing God's word as often as possible. There's a great quote by Luther. I love it, where he says that we need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. And so here we need to hear the word, because the word gives life. It creates life. And this is going to get very, very much, this is going to get very echoed in the second half. And so this, when we get into the second paragraph here, you're going to see that, Jesus is pulling in what they have already seen, and he's calling forward to actually multiple events that are coming in the future. Two-ish specific events, and it's definitely going to directly apply to us. So like I said, that verse 24 is very, very important. And also, even in stepping backwards a little bit, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so this is, what we believe in regards to Jesus is very, very important. And, there's a multitude of false teachings out there about who Jesus is. And so this is why we talk, about Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, will deny that Jesus is divine. And, in fact, this would be a major text right here that, they're going to try to say that they'll look at that verse 19 where we started and say, oh, see, the Son, Jesus, can't do anything, so he is not really God. And so, but here, but the rest of John really reinforces that the I am statements, the very beginning, in the beginning was verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the word was God, and the word was God. And the word, and then jump down to verse 14, the word became flesh. John, and it is very, very much on the mind that Jesus is God. And so to honor the Son is to honor him as both God and man, 100% God, 100% man, 100% of the time. There's no point where he's not God. There's no point where he's not man. I mean, after the incarnation. And so believing in him, that God who we confess in the, you know, in the apostles, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, that is the belief in that Christ is what leads to eternal life and is what leads from death to life. Such a, you know, such a very beautiful promise, setting us up for where we're going to go to here. So verse 25, we can go to there.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Neil Wemoss of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. We need to take a quick break, Pastor Wemoss. When we come back, we'll pick up at verse 25. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
You can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And it's even more critical when it comes to the history of God's redeeming grace in Christ. That's the conviction of Concordia Historical Institute, the Department of Archives and History of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For almost 90 years, we've been dedicated to collecting, cataloging, and showcasing the historical touchstones of Christ's grace and mercy in the life of the Lutheran Church. Help us in the fight against historical amnesia by becoming a member of CHI today. Benefits of CHI membership include our quarterly journal, newsletter, and discounts when you use CHI's research and reference services. You also receive the joy of knowing you're doing your part in preserving and proclaiming Lutheran history for generations to come. Moving Lutheran history forward together. Check us out at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk today. We are studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Neil Wemoss of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. We're at John chapter 5 today. Pastor, are we ready to pick up and read verses 25 and following?
Yep.
All right. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now back to verse 25, he begins with, truly, truly, I say to you. We saw this earlier in verse 19, truly, truly.
Verse 24 as well. So yeah, that's that three times you get that truly, truly, that amen, amen, as it is in the Greek. And so this is, like I said, that's John setting up that framework. And that third, so this is setting up that second sequence of thought. And this is a, you know, he says here, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So this, okay, I'm going to, some people get annoyed when I bring this up, but I'm just bringing it up anyways. There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago. It's called The Son of God, which was came out of the Bible miniseries. And it was about the life of Jesus, and it absolutely aggravated me. And the reason was is because in the movie, whenever you saw Jesus do a miracle, you would see him do some weird magician type stuff. I almost looked like he was trying to do his best Dumbledore impersonation. And so Harry Potter reference, if anybody didn't catch that one. But anyways, you see him like wave his hands or whatever. But you go like go back jumping going back to that verse 8. You know, when he's talking to this paralytic, he's saying, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus it's not an abracadabra type thing. He's not, like, doing any incantation. He just says the word. He just tells them, get up, take your bed, walk. And it's a command, and the command of Jesus, the word of Jesus is so strong that a man who cannot walk will obey him and he'll get up. And so here, verse 25, he is, you know, you cannot help but think of later in the Gospel of John is when his dear friend Lazarus dies, he comes there and he says, Lazarus, come out. And again, this isn't, you know, again, not, a, you know, he's not doing any type of incantation. His word is the command of Jesus is to such a degree that a dead man, you know, I always think of that. You know, you think about those people who are really hard to wake up in the morning, and you know, you try to wake them up, you can't. This is how awesome Jesus is. He didn't just wake up a guy that's hard to wake up from sleep. He woke up a guy who, according to the King James, was in there so long that he stinketh. He said to that man, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, who is dead, listened and obeyed, and he came out of the tomb. And so verse 25, this is, you know, this is the, you know, the time is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And I don't want to bring in the other Gospels, but it's kind of, try not to do this too much, but you know, in the other Gospels, you have, you know, other resurrections that Jesus does where, I mean, all he does is he just gives a command to a person who is dead, and they obey, they listen. And that's where, like, if you saw the Son, if anybody happened to see that Son of God movie, they show this thing where Jesus, like, breathed into the top of the head of Lazarus, and, like, he was, I don't know, like a hot air balloon, and that's how you raise people from the dead or something. But a good example, it's such a wonderful example where the book is so much better than the movie. And, I mean, just to see that image of, you know, that tomb, they roll that away, and this guy stinks, and he just says, Lazarus, come out, and he comes out. And, you know, this is, you know, such awesome words for our comfort. It's because, you know, we have our, you know, you hear the word preached to you every single Sunday. When the pastor says, I forgive you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. That is, it's not an abracadabra. It is a command from Jesus through the mouth of the pastor delivering that forgiveness. It actually is doing it. When the pastor says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. That is Jesus work. That is the Holy Spirit working through that pastor to clothe you with Christ, to clothe you in his righteousness, to make you a child of God. The Lord's Supper, this is my body. This is my blood. Again, this is the command of Jesus is such that he could tell a glass of wine or a little bit of bread to be his body and to be his blood, and it's so. And this is just speaking to the incredible, awesome power of Jesus. And it's, you know, it's all over. This is how, I mean, this is how he can do, you know, that's why he, John starts out talking about that Jesus is the one. So the word made flesh, the word that would become flesh is the one that spoke everything into creation. Just by saying a word, he said, "This let there be light," and boom, there's light. And so, so this is going to keep continuing. This is going to get, as we continue through this, we're going to see that this applies even more to us. So,
for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself.
So again, this is this is the Father giving that authority to Jesus to do this. This is going back to that. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. Oh, by the way, cheap joke. According in the Gospel of John, Jesus loves Hondas because there's a lot of talk about his own accord. Sorry. Okay, bad pastor joke. But anyways, whereas the Father has, so here again, he's saying that with everything he does, the Father is given, is the one that passes that authority to Jesus to do it. And again, this is talking about the, again, going back to that roles of the Trinity. And so when this all began, sorry, I got a phone going off in the background here. All right, anyways. So when Jesus does any of these things, it is all according to the authority of the Father. He cannot do anything unless the Father, unless it's the will of the Father. But again, the Father and the Son, their will is one. So the Father has, the life of the Father, the Son has that same. So it's, this authority has been given to the Son. So, to verse 27.
And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man.
So, yeah, continuing into that verse 26, that theme, and this is again going back to the, we heard that again earlier, in verse 22, the Father judges no one but has all, given all judgment to the Son. So going back, this whole dialogue began with the thing, again, with that healing of the paralytic. And so they're wondering, who are you to do this? And how dare you do this? And Jesus is telling them exactly who he is. He is the one that created the Sabbath for man. He is the one, he isn't outright saying it, but he's definitely alluding to it. Jesus doesn't like to always speak clear. And there's actually, but mentioned elsewhere that that's intentional. He doesn't speak completely clear when talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, those who are in opposition to him. But he is definitely alluding to the fact that he is divine, that he is God, and showing the authority by being the Son of the Father that he has. And being equal to the Father, he has the authority to do these things. And so this is, he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And the judgment that is being, and actually, it should be actually noticed, the exact word judgment isn't used. The word judgment, yeah, it's been used three times here, too. So you see it at the very end of verse 24, he does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Verse 27, he has given him authority to execute judgment. Verse 29, when we get to that, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So three times you see that word showing up. And so again, if you go all throughout the Gospel of John, you look for those threes and you're going to see that that John is trying to emphasize something. And so here, this is, verse 24 is where that first thing, where that first word, occurrence of judgment, happens. And that's kind of that hinge that I mentioned, the hinge verse to this pericope. And so that word is setting forth when verse 24 to 29 is going to. And this, it's kind of a note that in the NIV, they actually broke up at verse 24 instead of verse 25. And I think that's because that verse 24 could go to either paragraph. And so showing, how central that verse is. So, continuing into verse 28.
And we have just about a minute and a half for these last two verses here. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Just about a minute or so for this verse, or for these two verses, Pastor.
Okay. I actually want to turn to a verse from a hymn from For All the Saints. Verse 7, it says, below there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. As a pastor of the tri-parish, I had a pretty good number of funerals. And one of the things I always loved to talk about was that, so we talked about Lazarus, Jesus saying to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out, and he obeyed, he listened, he came out. This is speaking to us, that there is going to be a day that's going to come that Jesus is going to speak to those in the tomb, which, you know, will be me, it'll be you, it'll be anyone that is listening, that has, who believes in the Son, who's heard the voice of Jesus, and has believed in him, that they will hear that voice and they will rise out of their graves, just as Lazarus did. So you could imagine, think of this, any type of cemetery, you could see Jesus walking through there and just saying, get up, get out, come up.
Amen.
And all those people will hear.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we are all out of time. Thank you for being our guest today, helping us study John chapter 5. Pastor Neil Wemus of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ida Grove, Iowa. Thanks so much, Pastor.
Thank you.